Cold Plunge, 5 Benefits You Didn't Know. I'm Hamza Aziz, the producer of the Talking With Docs podcast. You might know Talking With Docs from their popular YouTube channel. Thinking about trying a cold plunge? Here's why you should try it.
It's cold out today. Is that good for me or bad for me?
Well, that's an interesting question.
Okay, we're talking about cold plunges today. Yeah. Welcome to Talking With Docs. I'm Dr. Paul Zalzo.
I'm Dr. Brad Wayne. So cold immersion, really popular on social media. People intentionally getting really cold for purported health benefits.
Polar Bear Club.
Yeah, they used to do it once a year, though. They weren't doing it like three times a week.
No, this is on a regular basis, getting cold.
Okay, so the thought is that by providing this cold stress to our bodies can adapt to the stress and react in a way that is good for your health, not just in the moment, but for weeks, months, years, life.
Is there finally a benefit for living in our climate?
Well,
in this cold climate where you go outside without the appropriate attire, you could die?
So that's a good question.
In the winter.
And we can certainly talk about that as we go. But yeah, so more and more scientific research has been done on this to assess how our bodies respond to the cold and whether it's actually good for you, if it's just people that just like pain. Because I don't love the cold.
Really? I'm not a big fan of the cold, but we have talked in the past about the sauna and the benefits of getting too hot. If I had to choose about getting too hot or too cold in this controlled setting, I'd probably pick neither.
Yeah,
homeostasis.
Yeah, I was just going to say, because I feel like cold is exponentially more uncomfortable for me.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's run through the list of things that are benefit, and then we'll talk about kind of the how cold it has to be, how long you have to do it for, how many times a week you should do it, and kind of how you do it. All right?
All right. So one of the things that we've seen in the literature is jumping into the cold water.
Yep.
Suddenly getting cold releases these cold shock proteins, also known as mRNA motif binding proteins.
Yes.
Something like that.
Yep.
I'm not entirely sure their mechanism there, but cold shock proteins, sort of, I guess, the opposite of the heat shock proteins, but your body just releases some proteins in response to a sudden change in stimuli to help you survive.
Yeah, reduce and repair cellular damage and protect you in a healthy way.
Cold shock proteins, one of the benefits.
Okay, number two is norepinephrine, and this is what increases your respiratory rate, your heart rate, and also they say that it may regulate mood as well, but it's part of that fight or flight. There's epinephrine and norepinephrine, but norepinephrine specifically binds to beta receptors on your brown fat, which is a key part of cold plunging, and activates this brown fat.
Yeah, actually, the brown fat is, compared to the white fat, unlike the brown meat and the white meat and the chicken or turkey, it's just the brown fat is one that has these mitochondria, which, of course, is where energy production is happening in your cells.
And so this is what creates thermogenesis. And actually, interestingly, the amount of brown fat we have is actually very small. It's like 50 to 100 grams. That's like a chocolate bar's worth of brown fat. And it's located on your neck, on your shoulder blades, and down your spine. And the thought is that it's deposited there as an efficient way to provide thermogenesis. So it's creating heat without shivering when you're exposed to cold. And this is what allows animals to hibernate. So bears and hedgehogs that have a lot of brown fat allows them to generate heat while they're hibernating, as well as whales deal with living in a very, very cold environment. They have a lot of brown fat.
Right. And this is energy dependent. So you are burning energy trying to stay warm. It does take energy. You're just converting energy to heat. Energy is calories, and calories is stuff you eat. So that you are, I guess, burning energy, just trying to stay warm.
Right, and just beware, don't try to gain a whole bunch of extra weight so that you can get brown fat, because it doesn't really work that way. Some of the studies have shown that exposure to cold increases your brown fat activity in the range of 10 to 30%, increases your metabolism, so this is very good for us. It actually burns extra calories in a small number, but it's hard to actually convert your white fat to brown fat, and it's very difficult to measure. They use a very fancy test called a PET scan that really measures more your brown fat activity than the actual amount of brown fat, but some studies say that you can slowly increase this by small amounts, the actual amount of brown fat, but it's really getting those mitochondria, which are actually what make your fat look brown.
Okay, so this cold plunge is activating this, getting the brown fat working.
Yes.
Another benefit would be the antioxidant effect.
Okay.
We've talked about antioxidants in the past. They're kind of these chemicals that sweep up all the free radicals that can do damage to your cells.
Yep.
And there's some evidence and some thoughts and some thinking that this cold plunging increases your antioxidants.
Right, and related to so many chronic diseases, as is the next one, which is inflammation. So this reduces inflammation, where they've done studies that show a reduction in CRP, IL-6, and tumor necrosis alpha. These are blood markers of the measure of our inflammation. And as much as we don't totally understand exactly how inflammation is bad for us, we certainly know that it is, and it contributes to many chronic diseases. So if we can lower our inflammation doing this, then it's good for our health.
Yeah.
And the last one is something called a hormetic response. And both heat and cold do this. And what this is when your body is exposed to low-level stresses, it allows you to develop adaptive processes that protect you. And this is all considered part of your generalized health and healthy aging. So in controlled fashions, this can be good for us. It's like being uncomfortable is actually good for you because it gets you more comfortable.
That's it. Feeling uncomfortable right now.
Okay.
So standing a little too close.
Yeah.
So, and now, is it the same thing if you have to, do you have to jump in a cold lake to get this effect? Or can you do this going out in the cold weather, for example, or even in a cold shower? Could that simulate it?
So I think that's a great question. So first of all, let's talk about how cold does it have to be. So if you're doing cold immersion into a tub, they say that the temperature should be somewhere between 35, which is like 2 degrees Celsius, 35 Fahrenheit, to about 50, which is about 10 degrees Celsius. So pretty cold. The water at my house, I checked it, comes out at around low 50s, 54 degrees, which is pretty cold.
What's with the Fahrenheit?
I don't know, because we have a lot of Mary. 10. So 10 or 11 degrees Celsius, 50, 55. And a lot of the research is actually in Fahrenheit.
And you know why you don't jump, into a lake if it's 0 degrees?
Because it might have ice on the top?
Yeah, hurt yourself.
Yeah, you could.
Because water freezes at zero. So we're talking about ice skating. That's another topic.
Yeah, so somewhere in that 2 to 10 or 35 to 50 degrees Fahrenheit, typically benefits have been shown at a minimum about 11 minutes per week. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't have to be an 11-minute session. So you can break it up into multiple sessions. So it's actually cumulative benefit. Okay. And the thought is that it's that shock. So ultimately, if you get really used to the temperature or the duration, that shock benefit is going to go down. So some people even talk about taking breaks from it, just like anything, where you want to have that shock.
Now, when you talk about shocking the system, if you have heart disease or some health challenges, sometimes that shock is dangerous and you can die from it. You can 100%. Go into a cardiac arrest and literally die.
Yes, you should start slowly, start like higher temperatures, start shorter duration. And to answer your question, yes, they have shown that cold showers do the same thing. So that water is the big difference. Being outside in the cold, the air prevents that kind of heat loss. You lose up to 4 times more heat when you are in that cold water. So it's actually harder on your body. So it's the submersion is better, but you can get it. Trouble is, your extremities are at risk at really high, really cold temperatures for prolonged periods of time. So some people, when they do cold immersion, will even wear gloves on their hands and essentially socks on their feet to protect the extremities from having damage. Because if you stay in there long enough at a cold enough temperature, you actually could get frostbite or even low chronic injuries to your extremities related to non-frostbite injuries, but related to the chronic cold.
And people with Raynaud's are going to dislike this a lot.
100%, not practical for them.
Yeah, your extremities get very cold, get blue, you get a lot of vasoconstriction. It's not going to be good for you. But take a cold shower. That's like an old adage. You know what I mean? Just go take a cold shower. And if you've ever done that, like if I don't do it on purpose.
It's shocking.
It is. That's like I can feel my cold shock proteins.
I would agree.
My face. And it happens. Like if your hot water heater is not working, for some reason you have to have a cold shower, or the kids have used up all the hot water and you have that cold shower, you really do feel good after.
You
don't feel good during, but afterwards you're like, I feel refreshed.
To be honest, so when I went to Haiti after the earthquake in 2010, they didn't have hot water. Mm-hmm. So you had, when we first went there was no water. So you had to have a shower with like a water bottle.
Okay.
But then eventually they got the water running and it was cold. And you learned quickly, how to be comfortable. And what they say actually, when you have cold immersion or cold shower, you actually have to embrace it and kind of slow down your breathing. Mm-hmm. Some people would say holding your breath at the end of your exhale to help kind of reduce some of that stress and to get comfortable in it. And that's actually good for your body.
Learn how to shower quick.
And so now some people would say, well, what about the people that live in northern climates like Canada or Northern Europe or even Japan? And that's where a lot of these studies have shown that these people do have slightly more active brown fat, maybe potentially even a little bit more brown fat. Mm-hmm. But because of advances in technology and heated houses and spending less time outside of Gore-Tex and down and all the rest of it, that we're probably losing some of those adaptive skills. And that makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. Because we don't expose ourselves to the elements. We live soft lives, some of us.
Why are you looking at me when you say that? I go outside.
I go outside too.
I make my own driveway.
I think we need to embrace the cold a little bit more.
That's it.
So what's the take-home message, Paul? So if someone says, listen, I want to do some things that are going to change my life. I want to get healthy. What are your thoughts about cold immersion?
I think it's a reasonable thing. I think, you know, maybe, and you don't have to do it. You don't have to go jump in the lake. Like we said, a cold shower.
Yep.
Is similar. There are some health benefits. Of course, check with your healthcare provider if your body is equipped to handle these shocks and sudden changes in temperature.
Yep.
But I believe the literature. I believe there is some
benefit. Are you going to do it?
Cold shower?
Or cold immersion, like in a tub.
Nope.
I think I'm going to try
really?
It.
Really?
Yeah.
Like ice cubes and that? In the
no,
tank.
No. Just like start at like 10, 50, whatever 30. It comes out, whatever yeah, it comes out of the yeah. tap and yeah. just see how it goes. I really am uncomfortable with it, but I think I'm going to try it.
I think I would try the cold shower before the full cold immersion.
Yeah.
Because then if it gets too cold, I could just step out.
Or just turn on the hot water.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Now, you know, if you have any experience with cold immersion, cold showers, cold anything, yeah. leave us
cold
a comment.
Heart.
Cold heart. This will be beneficial for other people. I'll share your experience. If you like this video, please like and subscribe to our channel.
And remember, you are in charge of your own health.